On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. The next reading of the Gospel is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, you who is the author of this living word, illuminate this word to our hearts. And Lord, all that I say and speak, Father, Spirit, take it and do with it as you will. For your people's sake, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The PowerPoint for the sermon. Last week, Cheng San preached from the book of Acts chapter 1, which describes for us an account of the giving of the Holy Spirit to early believers of Jesus. In the account in Acts, the disciples were asked by Jesus to wait for the giving of the Holy Spirit so that the disciples will receive power and be able to be witnesses of the gospel. Second slide. This account of the giving of the Holy Spirit in power in Acts chapter 2 and 1 and 2 occurred on Pentecost. Can the slide also be on the TV screen so that I can see? In this morning's scripture, from the Gospel of John, we have another account of the giving of the Holy Spirit that is much less dramatic than the account in Acts. The account of the giving of the Holy Spirit to the early disciples in John chapter 20 tells us that Jesus breathed on the disciples the Holy Spirit and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. There were no dramatic phenomena accompanying the giving of the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel. So the question is, which of the two accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit is the correct one or the true one? Is it the account given in Acts by the Gospel writer Luke, or is it the account given in the Gospel of John? Or are both accounts valid and correct and true? If both accounts are to be accepted, then how does one account relate to the other, and how are we to understand them? My sermon title this morning is The Spirit of Life and Power. Spiritual life and spiritual power. Both of these are different aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. In a sense, both accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit recorded in John and in Acts are true and to be accepted. One account emphasizes the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit, while the other account emphasizes the power-enabling work of the Spirit for witness and service. Both of these work of the Spirit are operating and at work in the life of believers in Christ. It is not accepting one account and rejecting the other. It is accepting both accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit and understanding how both are at work in our lives. Let's look at John's account in greater detail. Slide number 3. In John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, in the passage read earlier, in John chapter 7, Jesus, whilst attending the Jewish festival of tabernacles, declared, Jesus said this word while he was attending this festival. And so on the last and great day of the festival, now in verse 27, say, on last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, these words, you know, he said this, he said, whoever believes in him will receive and experience new spiritual life, enabled by the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is likened to rivers of living water flowing from within them. This new life that comes from believing in Jesus is also spoken of in John chapter 4, when Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. There in John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So you see, Jesus in chapter 4 talking to the Samaritan woman and he offered the living water of eternal life. And here in chapter 7, at this great day, on the last and great day of the festival of the tabernacle, he offers rivers of living water that will flow out of all who believe in Jesus. The use of living water that will flow out of a believer's life as a symbol of the Holy Spirit is appropriate for this occasion, which was the celebration of the Festival of Tabernacles, or Sukkot in Hebrew. The celebration was over 8 days. It is a kind of a harvest festival, right? After the great harvest, they harvested, and so they were celebrating the great harvest. So it was celebrated over 8 days. And one of the celebratory acts of the priests was to draw water from the pool of Siloam, located in Jerusalem near to the temple, and pouring the water as an offering, a libation gift, over the altar over the 7 days. So 8 days, the first 7 days, they draw water, the priest draw water from the pool of Siloam, and then he pours it over the water. And on the final day, the final and great day of the celebration, water was not poured. And it was on this day that Jesus declared that I am the one that gives the living water, the water that flows like rivers out of within you for all who will believe in me. So it was appropriate because when all the Jews heard Jesus speaking these words, they connect the living water that was offered with God Yahweh. And this offering of water over 7 days was to remind the Israelites that it was God who has been their great provider. When they were in the desert place, they asked God for water. They were in the desert place and God provided water out of the rocks. And when so at this celebration, although they have settled in the promised land of Canaan, they are continually in need of fresh water. And this time, the water comes from God for the rain. So every time there is rain, then they can have harvest. So they just celebrated a good harvest. And they are reminded that it is God who provides the rain that enable them to have a good harvest. So the living water of life, without water, they will die. Without water, they cannot have harvest. They will have famine. So the living water, they understood. So when Jesus says, I will give this living water. And this living water is who? It's the Holy Spirit, right? In the same chapter, it says, this Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was not yet given at that time. And then this connects us to chapter 20. In chapter 7, Jesus was not yet glorified. He was still around. So the Holy Spirit was promised. And in chapter 20, when Jesus spoke to the disciple, who was this Jesus? It was the resurrected Jesus after he has been crucified and he has been glorified with a resurrected body. And so in chapter 20, again, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So the receiving of the Holy Spirit in chapter 20 is connected or related to Jesus' promise to give the Holy Spirit as living water in John chapter 7. To who? To all who believe. So this receiving of the Holy Spirit, when he commanded, receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them, right? So if you say, oh Jesus, since you breathed into me, can I not receive? You know, you are breathing into me, I got no choice, right? I just got to receive. But yet Jesus received the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek, the receive is a command. And it's an active command that you must actively receive what I'm blowing into you. Which means that, you know, Jesus may want to give us the Holy Spirit and we can be in a position to reject the Holy Spirit, right? That is why Jesus says, receive, actively receive. And it is a command. And in the Gospel of John, you know, the theology of the work of the Holy Spirit is very much related to the giving of new spiritual life in Christ and the nurturing and sustaining of our spiritual life in Christ. So, in my sermon title, The Spirit of Life. So, the Gospel of John talks about the Spirit as the life-giving Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, we find that the Holy Spirit not only gives us the new birth. Remember, in Jesus' encounter in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, he says, you must be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus says, you mean I must go back to my mother's womb? He says, no, you must be born of the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So the idea of new birth, spiritual birth, rebirth, regeneration is in the theology of John concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit is said to be our teacher and reveals God's truth. The Holy Spirit is our counselor and guide. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit not only gives us new life in Christ, but continues to work in us to nurture and strengthen our inner spiritual life in Christ. So in John's Gospel, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into us when we believe in Jesus. And from John's account of the giving of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing dramatic about it. Jesus breathed his Spirit into the disciples, and we become a child of God. And after that, the work of the Holy Spirit is not to stop. He continues to nurture us, to strengthen our spiritual life by being our teacher, our counselor, our guide, and by convicting us of our sins to grow so that our inner life will flow out, continue to flow out like rivers of living water. So the question is, how is our inner spiritual life? Is it a trickle of water? Sometimes you turn on the tap and it's just dripping drop by drop. Or is it a pool of water that is dead, like the Dead Sea, you know, still, very salty, nothing's happening. It doesn't give life. The Dead Sea is a pool of dead, stale water. No fish can stay in it, can live in it, because it is stale water that is not drinkable. So the Holy Spirit does not want to give us the kind of spiritual life that is dead, that is trickle of God's life. It is supposed to be a flowing water from a spring continuously flowing out in us. So that's the first description of the giving of the Spirit. Then we come to Luke's account. Next slide. In Luke's account, the giving of the Holy Spirit is said to be given by God the Father. It is also related to the giving of power to the disciples to be witnesses of the gospel. In Luke's account, God baptizes the disciple with the Holy Spirit, given as a gift by God. It is different from Jesus' action of breathing the Holy Spirit onto the disciples in John's gospel. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 and 8, it says, you know, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is connected to the power that God wants to give to the disciple to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in Acts chapter 2, the next slide, we see how powerful it was. It was not the quiet breathing of the Holy Spirit. It was fire. It was wind. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the emphasis of Luke, the writer of Acts, is on the work of the Spirit in giving power to the disciple to witness and to serve God and to do the ministry of God. Therefore, in the book of Acts, when we read the book of Acts from after chapter 2, we see many, many accounts of how the disciples were able to preach the gospel with power. And as our dear sister Susan said in her children's sermon, 3,000 came to the Lord when Peter preached and bear witness to the gospel powerfully. And subsequently, there are many, many accounts of God's power that is given to the disciple as they preach, as they go about healing the sick, as they begin to do many signs and wonders to authenticate that this gospel is true and is not just merely words only. So, how do we reconcile these two accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit? In one account, the Holy Spirit is the life-giving Spirit, and in the other, the Holy Spirit is the power-giving Spirit. How are these two accounts to be related to our life today, a believer's life? Before I answer this question, I will make two notes. I want to make two notes. The first is that we must take note that although the account by Luke in Acts seems to be both dramatic and powerful, and we are often attracted to this, the giving of the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel is not something weak and something powerless. John's account of the giving of the Holy Spirit may not be accompanied by much drama and fanfare, but the work of the Spirit in the believer's life is equally active and powerful, because it is rivers of living water flowing out. In John chapter 10, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd that has come to give his sheep might have life, and that they might have it to the full. In NIV, that they might have life, and life to the full. or in the NIV is translated as, that they might have life, and life abundantly. So it's an abundant life. It is a full life. This is the new life that Holy Spirit wants to give to us in chapter 7, in verse 38. So, this inner life of the Spirit is not powerless. It is very much active and alive. It is full of life. The second note I want to make is related to the term baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts. In Acts, although in chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, and God the Father will baptize you with the Spirit, you know, in later, after that, after the first chapter, in all the way until the end of Acts, the word baptized in the Spirit is no more used. Instead, the word filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the people. So the term filled with the Spirit and the term baptized with the Spirit in Acts is used by the gospel writer Luke interchangeably to mean the same thing. To be baptized in the Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit. In integrating these two accounts together, I like to go to the Apostle Paul, because Paul, you know, he himself was not among the early disciples where Jesus breathed the Spirit into him. Nor was he the early disciple that was there when on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. He wasn't. He came later, right? So he heard about all these accounts of people saying, you know, Jesus breathing the Spirit into him, into the disciple. And he also heard the account of the Holy Spirit being poured out, baptizing the early disciples. He heard all of this. And he looks at it and he understood it in this way. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12, 3 to 13, which is one of our reading this morning, there in verse 3, there it says, Paul says that no one can confess Jesus as Lord except through the Holy Spirit. And that has been given to that person. This is the life-giving word of the Holy Spirit in a believer who believed in Jesus and now calls Jesus Lord. So he acknowledges the new life that the Holy Spirit gives, the work of the Spirit as a life-giving Spirit. And then later in he goes down in verse 4 to 11, Paul begins to speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the believers for ministry and service, different kind of gifts. Gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretation of tongues, and gifts of healing, and all the various gifts which the believers are to exercise as the Spirit enables them and the Spirit empowers them. And towards the end of the passage, in emphasizing both the work of life, giving life, and the work of giving power as the work of the same one Holy Spirit, Paul says this in verse 13, that we were all baptized by the one Spirit. So use the word, we are all baptized by one Spirit. And we know that in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, God the Father baptized the believers with the Holy Spirit. So he acknowledges that there is this baptism of the Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that accompanies and gives power to the disciple to do the work of ministry, to bear witness to God. And at the same time, he also says this, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. And that reminds us of Jesus giving the Holy Spirit as living water for the believers to drink of the life-giving Spirit. So both the life-giving Spirit, the life-giving word of the Spirit, and the power-giving Spirit are mentioned by Paul. And Paul says, this, the new life that you have, and the gifts that God has given to you are all from the same Spirit. Two different accounts of giving of the Holy Spirit, but all are true. And God wants to do both work in our lives. Elsewhere, in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25, Paul calls believers to live by the Spirit so that we do not rectify the acts of sinful flesh, but to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of love. Fruit of love. It consists of gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit. He says, you live by the Spirit so that you will not do the acts, and you will not gratify the acts of the flesh, which are all the sinful acts that we have to do. So he's referring to the life that God wants to give to us. And so here we have the giving of the Spirit in power so that believers will have the gifts of the Spirit to minister, to serve God and serve others. And here we have the giving of the Spirit as a life-giving Spirit to help us in our inner life to bear fruit of the Spirit. So one has to do with our character, growing in Christian character. The other has to do with growing Christian service. So it's not one or the other. We cannot say, you know, this work of the Spirit in giving us gifts of the Spirit and all this drama and power, Lord, I don't think I want it. You know, I just want to grow my Christian life. I want to be a good Christian. I want to have my character strengthened. I want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want to be a quiet, contemplative Christian. I just want to contemplate and always be examining myself, whether am I living up to what God expects of me. That is good. But God wants to give you more than just that. You must have that. If you are always a Christian that's serving, 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 you will run dry. Because you don't have the inner life of the Spirit, like rivers of water flowing out from you. But you cannot be a Christian that is always contemplating, meditating on God's Word, but you're not doing anything else. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. The next reading of the Gospel is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, you who is the author of this living word, illuminate this word to our hearts. And Lord, all that I say and speak, Father, Spirit, take it and do with it as you will. For your people's sake, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The PowerPoint for the sermon. The PowerPoint for the sermon. Last week, Cheng San preached from the book of Acts chapter 1, which describes for us an account of the giving of the Holy Spirit to early believers of Jesus. In the account in Acts, the disciples were asked by Jesus to wait for the living, for the giving of the Holy Spirit, so that the disciples will receive power and be able to be witnesses of the gospel. Second slide. This account of the giving of the Holy Spirit in power in Acts chapter 2 and 1 and 2 occurred on Pentecost. Can the slide also be on the TV screen so that I can see? In this morning's scripture from the Gospel of John, we have another account of the giving of the Holy Spirit that is much less dramatic than the account in Acts. The account of the giving of the Holy Spirit to the early disciples in John chapter 20 tells us that Jesus breathed on the disciples the Holy Spirit and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. There were no dramatic phenomena accompanying the giving of the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel. So the question is, which of the two accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit is the correct one or the true one? Is it the account given in Acts by the Gospel writer Luke, or is it the account given in the Gospel of John? Or are both accounts valid and correct and true? If both accounts are to be accepted, then how does one account relate to the other, and how are we to understand them? My sermon title this morning is The Spirit of Life and Power. Spiritual life and spiritual power. Both of these are different aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. In a sense, both accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit recorded in John and in Acts are true and to be accepted. One account emphasizes the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit, while the other account emphasizes the power-enabling work of the Spirit for witness and service. Both of these work of the Spirit are operating and at work in the life of believers in Christ. It is not accepting one account and rejecting the other. It is accepting both accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit and understanding how both are at work in our lives. Let's look at John's account in greater detail. Slide number 3. In John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, in the passage read earlier, in John chapter 7, Jesus, whilst attending the Jewish festival of Tabernacles, declared, Jesus said this word while he was attending this festival. And so on the last and great day of the festival, in verse 27, say, on last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, these words, He said this, he said, whoever believes in him will receive and experience new spiritual life enabled by the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is likened to rivers of living water flowing from within them. This new life that comes from believing in Jesus is also spoken of in John chapter 4, when Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. There in John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So you see, Jesus in chapter 4 talking to the Samaritan woman, and he offered the living water of eternal life. And here in chapter 7, at this great day, on the last and great day of the festival of the tabernacle, he offers rivers of living water that will flow out of all who believe in Jesus. The use of living water that will flow out of a believer's life as a symbol of the Holy Spirit is appropriate for this occasion, which was the celebration of the festival of tabernacles, or Sukkot in Hebrew. The celebration was over 8 days. It is a kind of a harvest festival, right? After the great harvest, they harvested, and so they were celebrating the great harvest. So it was celebrated over 8 days. And one of the celebratory acts of the priests was to draw water from the pool of Siloam, located in Jerusalem near to the temple, and pouring the water as an offering, a libation gift, over the altar over the 7 days. So 8 days, the first 7 days, they draw water, the priest draw water from the pool of Siloam, and then he pours it over the water. And on the final day, the final and great day of the celebration, water was not poured. And it was on this day that Jesus declared that I am the one that gives the living water, the water that flows like rivers out of within you for all who will believe in me. So it was appropriate, because when all the Jews heard Jesus speaking these words, they connect the living water that was offered with God, Yahweh. And this offering of water over 7 days was to remind the Israelites that it was God who has been their great provider. When they were in the desert place, they asked God for water. They were in the desert place, and God provided water out of the rocks. And when, and so at this celebration, although they have settled in the promised land of Canaan, they are continually in need of fresh water. And this time, the water comes from God for the rain. So every time there is rain, then they can have harvest. So they just celebrated a good harvest, and they are reminded that it is God who provides the rain that enable them to have a good harvest. So the living water of life, without water, they will die. Without water, they cannot have harvest. They will have famine. So the living water, they understood. So when Jesus says, I will give this living water. And this living water is who? It's the Holy Spirit, right? In the same chapter, it says, this Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was not yet given at that time. And then these, therefore, this connects us to chapter 20. In chapter 7, Jesus was not yet glorified. He was still around. So the Holy Spirit was promised. And in chapter 20, when Jesus spoke to the disciple, who was this Jesus? It was the resurrected Jesus after he has been crucified. And he has been glorified with a resurrected body. And so in chapter 20, again, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So the receiving of the Holy Spirit in chapter 20 is connected or related to Jesus' promise to give the Holy Spirit as living water in John chapter 7. To who? To all who believe. So, this receiving of the Holy Spirit, when he commanded, receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them, right? So, if you say, oh Jesus, since you breathed into me, can I not receive? You know, you are breathing into me, I got no choice, right? I just got to receive. But yet Jesus received the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek, the receive is a command. And it's an active command that you must actively receive what I'm blowing into you. Which means that, you know, Jesus may want to give us the Holy Spirit, and we can be in a position to reject the Holy Spirit, right? That is why Jesus says, receive, actively receive. And it is a command. And in the Gospel of John, you know, the theology of the work of the Holy Spirit is very much related to the giving of new spiritual life in Christ and the nurturing and sustaining of our spiritual life in Christ. So, in my sermon title, The Spirit of Life. So, the Gospel of John talks about the Spirit as the life-giving Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, we find that the Holy Spirit not only gives us the new birth. Remember, in Jesus' encounter, but in John John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, he says, you must be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus says, you mean I must go back to my mother's womb? He says, no, you must be born of the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So the idea of new birth, spiritual birth, rebirth, regeneration is in the gospel, in the theology of John concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit is said to be our teacher and reveals God's truth. The Holy Spirit is our counselor and guide. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit not only gives us new life in Christ, but continues to work in us to nurture and strengthen our inner spiritual life in Christ. So in John's Gospel, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into us when we believe in Jesus. And from John's account of the giving of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing dramatic about it. Jesus breathed his Spirit into the disciples, and we become a child of God. And after that, the work of the Holy Spirit is not to stop. He continues to nurture us, to strengthen our spiritual life by being our teacher, our counselor, our guide, and by convicting us of our sins, to grow so that our inner life will flow out, continue to flow out like rivers of living water. So the question is, how is our inner spiritual life? Is it a trickle of water? Sometimes you turn on the tap and it's just dripping drop by drop. Or is it a pool of water that is dead, like the Dead Sea, you know, still, very salty, nothing's happening. It doesn't give life. The Dead Sea is a pool of dead, stale water. No fish can stay in it, can live in it, because it is a stale water that is not drinkable. So the Holy Spirit does not want to give us the kind of spiritual life that is dead, that is trickled of God's life. It is supposed to be a flowing water from a spring continuously flowing out in us. So that's the first description of the giving of the Spirit. Then we come to Luke's account. Next slide. In Luke's account, the giving of the Holy Spirit is said to be given by God the Father. It is also related to the giving of power to the disciples to be witnesses of the gospel. In Luke's account, God baptizes the disciple with the Holy Spirit, given as a gift by God. It is different from Jesus' action of breathing the Holy Spirit onto the disciples in John's Gospel. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 and 8, it says, you know, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is connected to the power that God wants to give to the disciple to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in Acts chapter 2, the next slide, we see how powerful it was. It was not the quiet breathing of the Holy Spirit. It was fire. It was wind. So when the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the emphasis of Luke, the writer of Acts, is on the work of the Spirit in giving power to the disciple to witness and to serve God and to do the ministry of God. Therefore, in the book of Acts, when we read the book of Acts from after chapter 2, we see many, many accounts of how the disciples were able to preach the gospel with power. And as our dear sister Susan said in her children's sermon, 3,000 came to the Lord when Peter preached and bear witness to the gospel powerfully. And subsequently, there are many, many accounts of God's power that is given to the disciples as they preach, as they go about healing the sick, as they begin to do many signs and wonders to authenticate that this gospel is true and is not just merely words only. So, how do we reconcile these two accounts of the giving of the Holy Spirit? In one account, the Holy Spirit is the life-giving Spirit, and in the other, the Holy Spirit is the power-giving Spirit. How are these two accounts to be related to our life today, a believer's life? Before I answer this question, I will make two notes. I want to make two notes. The first is that we must take note that although the account by Luke in Acts seems to be both dramatic and powerful, and we are often attracted to this, the giving of the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel is not something weak and something powerless. John's account of the giving of the Holy Spirit may not be accompanied by much drama and fanfare, but the work of the Spirit in the believer's life is equally active and powerful, because it is rivers of living water flowing out. In John chapter 10, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd that has come to give his sheep might have life, and that they might have it to the full. In NIV, that they might have life and life to the full. Or in the NIV, it's translated as that they might have life and life abundantly. So it's an abundant life. It is a full life. This is the new life that Holy Spirit wants to give to us in chapter 7, in verse 38. So this inner life of the Spirit is not powerless. It is very much active and alive. It is full of life. The second note I want to make is related to the term baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts. In Acts, although in chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, and God the Father will baptize you with the Spirit. You know, in later, after that, after the first chapter, in all the way until the end of Acts, the word baptized in the Spirit is no more used. Instead, the word filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the people. So the term filled with the Spirit and the term baptized in the Spirit in Acts is used by the gospel writer Luke interchangeably to mean the same thing. To be baptized in the Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit. In integrating these two accounts together, I like to go to the Apostle Paul, because Paul, you know, he himself was not among the early disciples where Jesus breathed the Spirit into him, nor was he the early disciple that was there when on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. He came later, right? So he heard about all these accounts of people saying, you know, Jesus breathing the Spirit into him, into the disciple, and he also heard the account of the Holy Spirit being poured out and baptizing the early disciples. He heard all of this, and he looks at it, and he understood it in this way. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12, 3 to 13, which is one of our reading this morning, there in verse 3, there it says, Paul says that no one can confess Jesus as Lord except through the Holy Spirit, and that has to be given to that person. This is the life-giving word of the Holy Spirit in a believer who believed in Jesus and now calls Jesus Lord. So he acknowledges the new life that the Holy Spirit gives, the work of the Spirit as a life-giving Spirit. And then later in chapter, he goes down in verse 4 to 11, Paul begins to speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the believers for ministry and service, different kind of gifts. Gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretation of tongues, and gifts of healing, and all the various gifts which the believers are to exercise as the Spirit enables them and the Spirit empowers them. and towards the end of the passage, in emphasizing both the work of life, giving life, and the work of giving power as the work of the same one Holy Spirit, Paul says this in verse 13, that we were all baptized by the one Spirit. So use the word, we are all baptized by one Spirit. And we know that in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, God the Father baptized the believers with the Holy Spirit. So he acknowledges that there is this baptism of the Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that accompanies and gives power to the disciple to do the work of ministry, to bear witness to God. And at the same time, he also says this, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. And that reminds us of Jesus giving the Holy Spirit as living water for the believers to drink of the life-giving Spirit. So both the life-giving Spirit, the life-giving word of the Spirit, and the power-giving Spirit are mentioned by Paul. And Paul says, this, the new life that you have, and the gifts that God has given to you, are all from the same Spirit. Two different accounts of giving of the Holy Spirit, but all are true. And God wants to do both work in our lives. Elsewhere, in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25, Paul calls believers to live by the Spirit so that we do not gratify the acts of sinful flesh, but to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is the spirit of love, fruit of love. It consists of gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit. He says, you live by the Spirit so that you will not do the acts, you will not gratify the acts of the flesh, which are all the sinful acts that we have to do. So he's referring to the life that God wants to give to us. And so here we have the giving of the Spirit in power so that believers will have the gifts of the Spirit to minister, to serve God and serve others. And here we have the giving of the Spirit as a life-giving Spirit to help us in our inner life to bear fruit of the Spirit. So one has to do with our character, growing in Christian character. The other has to do with growing Christian service. So it's not one or the other. We cannot say, you know, this work of the Spirit in giving us gifts of the Spirit and all this drama and power, Lord, I don't think I want it. You know, I just want to grow my Christian life. I want to be a good Christian. I want to have my character strengthened. I want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want to be a quiet, contemplative Christian. I just want to contemplate and always be examining myself, whether am I living up to what God expects of me. That is good. But God wants to give you more than just that. You must have that. If you are always a Christian that's serving, 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 you will run dry. Because you don't have the inner life of the Spirit, like rivers of water flowing out from you. But you cannot be a Christian that is always contemplating, meditating on God's word, but you are not doing anything else. You are not telling others about Jesus, what Jesus is doing in your life. You are not willing to exercise the gifts that God wants to give you so that you can bless others and bless brothers and sisters as part of the body of Christ. So God wants to give us both. And that's how the gospel, the giving of the Spirit in John and the giving of the Spirit in Acts are integrated together. God wants to give us both. Conclusion and application. At our new birth, when we believe in Jesus, God has given us His Holy Spirit to give us new spiritual life in Christ. He is described as rivers of living water, pointing to an abundant inner life, lived for God. It is not a trickle of water. It is not stale, dead water like the Dead Sea. It is overflowing water of life, like a spring that never ends. So the joy of the Lord, the presence of God is always bubbling from inside us. But often, we do not find that we are living such a spiritual life of abundance and overflowing love for God. Where the Holy Spirit teaches us to love God's word and to delight in obeying God's will, we find that our spiritual life is more like a stagnant pool of water. Oh, we recall those days long, long ago when God was so near to me. But today, God is just somehow at the back of our mind, but, you know, has nothing very much to do with our daily living at all. Our best, it is a trickle of water flowing, especially when I'm in desperate need and I call upon the name of the Lord and God turns up. And God's become more like a Tua Pek Kong than the living God that is Lord of our life. And then we struggle to live our Christian life. But that did not be the situation, because God has promised all believers an abundant inner life of the Spirit, where rivers of living water of the Spirit can flow from within us, so that our life will be transformed first to bear fruits. We must bear fruit. We cannot be just running around healing the sick and prophesizing, but we are our character. People look at us and say, huh, are you sure you're a Christian? We must bear fruit. And that takes time, waiting to allow God to change us, to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit in everything we do. But the power of God is also available. God is going to give us gifts of the Spirit so that we can bear witness boldly for Him, and we can serve Him with the different gifts that God wants to give to us. What we need to do is to wait and seek God for a deeper work of the Holy Spirit. Like the early disciple, we can seek God for a deeper spiritual work of God in our lives. We can ask God to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and to fill us with more of His Spirit's presence in our lives, so that we can live and experience the abundant life that God has promised. Today, we can ask God for the deeper work of the Spirit to come, fill us with more of God's love, and create in us a deeper love and hunger for God. We must not fear the Holy Spirit. Instead, we must welcome and invite the Holy Spirit to come and take control of our lives. And so do not be satisfied with a struggling spiritual life. Seek God for a deeper work of the Holy Spirit. Wait on God to fill you with more of His Spirit and take greater power and control of your life. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Today, this morning, God's word is speaking to you, and you are like a dry well. Know that the promise of God is ever for you. And all you need to do is just ask, say, Father God, I want more of your Holy Spirit. So if that's what your heart's desire, where you are, you just pray that prayer in your heart. Just pray that prayer in your heart. It is you who must seek and ask for more of the Spirit of God in your life. That God will pour forth more of His love into your life. God will pour more of His gifts into your life. And more of His power and peace into your life. Father, hear the prayers of your people. Lord, your word says so, and it is so. And so, Lord, you will grant all this to all who will seek you and call upon your name and be saved. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.